How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Kevin and Carmen Talk About Stuff, the podcast
stuff.
That still doesn't have a proper name.
Yep, no name.
Well, I know that you hate that that's the name of the podcast, but I think it works.
Sure.
I mean, and we're 400 episodes in.
Whoa.
There's no going back yet now.
Yeah, right.
We should have been 400 episodes, but, you know, it's when we have a topic and we just never have anything to say to each other anymore.
Oh my gosh, it's a bother.
So we just had the worst experience of our lives.
And then a great experience of our lives.
Yes, it was quite the bittersweet night and day experience.
And so, I knew my choice was going to be better than yours.
Well, I didn't choose to see this movie out of... We went back to the movies.
We went to the movie theater!
Finally, after all these years, we went... You can... We're going to talk about New Mutants first. So,
okay.
I know that you're referencing your phone, hoping, like, you just got it there, ready to go.
I'm ready.
Unengaged in the conversation.
No, I'm here.
It feels like you're not engaged when you're just looking at your phone.
You know, this is all the time when I'm trying to talk to you and you're playing your stupid, dumb game.
Yeah, but I focus better.
Kevin focuses with games, apparently, while you talk
to
him.
Well, I have...
It's late, but we're trying to get through this because we wanted to talk about...
We've started it five times now. All right, so let's just say which movies we saw. Not together. We're not going to say this like it's a birthday party surprise.
We saw New Mutants.
I don't want to do it like that.
And?
I don't want to. I don't like it. Okay, and?
The Personal History of David Copperfield.
Very good.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Was that not the title?
I mean, essentially, people get the idea, but I think it's like the...
Did I get it wrong? Great.
I thought you had it pulled up and ready to go. What has all of this been for?
The Personal History of David Copperfield.
Oh.
It's rated PG.
Rated PG. Wow. See? Another reason to necessarily recommend it. I don't want to give away the surprise. Which one's the bad one and which one's the good one?
but New Mutants.
All right, let's kick it off with New Mutants, the worst movie we've seen all year.
Yes.
It does feel good to be back in the theater again.
Even though you have a mask on the whole time.
But fortunately, nobody else was there.
Yeah, I know, it was great.
We were still social distancing. They're playing New Mutants every 30 minutes.
That's crazy.
Nobody's going to see that movie.
Well, I'm just surprised that nobody's there.
Because the movie sucks.
No, but like the other movies. There's like $5 movies, which I know that kind of sucks that it's like $5 per person. But still, there was a group of guys that came.
Yeah.
And I think they had a blast going to whatever movie they went to go see. But I'm just surprised that... I mean, you can see everything at home.
Right. People have realized, like,
but at the same time, I'm kind of tired of being at home.
Yeah. No, it was really nice to get to the theater. And it's so nice that we watched two movies.
Yeah, back to
back. That's how nice it was.
I was so good at planning this.
You did. You planned it all out.
Yes, me.
So, New Mutants. I didn't know a whole lot about this movie. All I knew was this was kind of in the X-Men universe.
Yeah.
It was developed, I think, while Fox was on its own, where it was filmed and put together. And it's been in limbo for a long time.
Limbo.
You know, just kind of like, we'll release the movie. We will release it. And Disney bought out Fox. It was interesting because both of these were Fox films.
Yeah, the other one was Searchlight, and this one was...
Yeah, so it's called Searchlight... I don't remember.
For the David Copperfield was that
yes.
one.
And no, I know, but I just studios. Mean like what the title, what they called the studio.
Oh.
Like what it said on the thing. Where with New Mutants it said, hey, get out of here, get! Sorry, our cat was about to
attack Kevin's leg.
No, he was scratching the
Oh, the bad cat.
The couch.
Ugh, that's the worst.
So, I knew was it was in the X-Men universe, and there's a lot. There's a heck of a lot of X-Men stuff out there. I don't know why this is, but I've watched all of them, so maybe that's why they're like, because we have the Runaways.
Yeah, which you've seen, I have not seen.
Which is a pretty good show. There's the, let's see if I can name them while you're doing whatever you're doing. Searching something. let me think. We have, I don't know, just a bunch of shows.
Well, the I mean, you're saying the Runaways, and then there's also that creepy psychological one.
Mm-hmm.
That you liked. I did not see with you.
Yeah. And it's so late at night that I can't remember it, and people are probably screaming at their...
Kevin, you can't think of these mutants.
Yeah. What is that show? Legion.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one that's with the brother and sister who hold hands.
Oh, yeah.
It has an X somewhere in the name. I don't know.
Well, there's also the white, like, cloak and shield.
Oh, the cloak and dagger.
Cloak
yeah.
and dagger.
Is that an X-Men universe?
Oh, it's not. It's DC?
No. Well, see, you got to remember, the way this works is you have Marvel Studios, and they've got all the kind of the now Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff.
Mm.
And then Marvel Comics has also, back before they had a lot of money, sold off several of their characters, to the movie rights to several of their characters, including, and Fox bought those. So, like, to Fox. Not a fox like the animal, but the production studio. So,
but now they're all under Disney.
Now, just this past year, but they haven't really implemented that yet. So, you have, like, you have the X-Men kind of universe. Mm. So that universe has, like, Deadpool in it. Fantastic Four, technically, I believe, is also Fox, but they never implemented them into the X-Men. So Fox's Marvel kind of universe, quote-unquote, exists outside of, up until, you know, they maybe bring them together, exists outside of the world of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though it's Marvel. So it's not DC. It is Marvel, but in the comics. So in the comics, Fantastic Four and the X-Men, they're all in the Avengers from time to time, just depending on. But they all do crossovers and stuff. So in this, though, in all those TV shows, like Legion, spoiler alert, he's Dr. Xavier, is that his name? Yes, the bald guy.
Yeah.
Picard. It's
Picard!
His son. He's the son of Professor X. And Wheels, as Wolverine called him. And so this exists in that universe, apparently. And so, all that to say, I know very little about this other than it's taken forever to come out, and finally they released it, and we got to see the logo that says Fox. This movie is really bad.
It's so bad.
It's just insane. Like, I went into this movie thinking, like, all right, okay, everybody, I'm going to cut this some slack because I know that it was in production limbo for years, and it finally came out, and I'm sure that they threw this together in terms of, like, editing it together to make some money off of it. And it was worse than I, even with those really, really low expectations, it was really bad.
Well, halfway through, I thought, okay, this is almost like a horror movie. But it wasn't. They label it as a horror action film.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it definitely
or fantasy.
Is attempting to be that. It definitely has the acting of many low-grade horror movies.
Yeah, but yeah, and like because the halfway through
poor acting.
Yeah, and halfway through it's just like la-di-da, everything's great. Ah!
Yeah.
And then bad things started happening. You know, unexplainable. Like Scooby-Doo, what's happening? And then we find out who's calling everything.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be spoilers in this conversation about this movie, but let's kind of go through. I don't know what you're looking up.
Well, I was trying to see the rating for Rotten Tomatoes. It's 29%.
Yeah, I told you that. Remember earlier when we were downstairs getting our cookies?
I know, but I don't think you said it on the podcast. So I was trying to find it to tell.
I see. So you didn't believe me when I told you.
No, I knew, but I didn't know what percent. I knew it was 20-something, but I don't remember. I'm not great with remembering
I don't know, Carmen.
And
it
numbers.
Seems like you are great. And
I am great with faces, and you made fun of me, and we'll talk about the faces.
All right.
I'm
well,
awesome
we're already pretty deep into this podcast, and we haven't talked about the movie much at all. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and recap the movie. And we can talk about it as we go. So
cool.
The movie is about this girl. She's not Rogue. She's not the character Rogue, but she might as well be. It kicks off. We have not Rogue. I don't remember her name.
Somewhere from Eskimo land or something. Native American.
Yeah, she's like, she's
on a reservation.
Yeah. But then she goes off the reservation. Literally and figuratively, her dad, something's attacking her village, and her dad, like, hides her inside of this tree, which all I could think of was, like, man, there's got to be bugs there. Like, she's probably going to get bit by a bug.
But, I mean, it was snowing in summertime, and then there was...
Was it?
Yeah, that was one of the things. They were like, oh, we just can't believe that there was snowing at summertime.
Okay.
And then blood was coming from the sky. And
so she gets
runs
knocked
away
out
and gets
and then
out.
Wakes up strapped to a bed, you know, chained to a bed. And it turns out, I wanted to look up because that doctor is somebody. She's somebody. The
I could be looking this up while you
Well,
talk.
Who is the doctor?
Well, okay, hold on.
Tell me who the doctor is. I like to see.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. We'll get into that later.
Let's see. It's Alice Braga.
Yeah. Is she Ziva from NCIS? That's what I want to know.
I mean, she was in The Shack. Suicide Squad. Never seen her before. She was on Eduardo and Monica. She's been on more movies, it looks like, than TV shows. She was on I Am Legend.
Maybe that's where I know her from. I Am Legend.
She was also on Predators and Elysium.
Was she the main girl in I Am Legend? Well, she's in City of God, so she's Brazilian, you think?
I think she's more
Spanish.
Oh,
she's in Elysium?
Yeah, she's in Elysium.
Mm.
She's Brazilian, you're correct.
Yeah, City of God was a Academy Award winning Portuguese Brazilian movie.
Well, I feel bad that now that if she was in a good movie,
mm-hmm.
and then she's going to be in the other Suicide Squad, I guess the one coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just kind of stinks that she's part of this production, but she's been some pretty good other. Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she couldn't have known. She didn't do her role poorly. So our girl ends up in, basically, it's like this crappy...
insane asylum.
Yeah. And there's only...
Which we stayed at one.
We did stay at one.
In Stanton.
That's where we met.
No, we did not. We're talking about like the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
And there we were. Going through our feelings.
That's a good show.
There's a place in Stanton, Virginia called the Blackfriar. Mm. It's pretty sweet. Like, they fix it up really nice,
Carmen,
like a boutique
Carmen, we're
hotel.
We're talking about the movie.
And what I wanted to say, it used to be an asylum.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, she ends up at this place. There's only four other. There's only four people there when she gets there. Like four
yeah,
people
which
and
is
the doctor.
Weird.
It's
and,
weird.
And they have facilities for like hundreds.
So basically, this is like a place where they take and at some point the doctor explains what New Mutants means. So it's just one doctor, one woman.
Yeah, this one
and,
powerful woman against
she's
five
like,
teenagers.
She's like taking care of them, and she claims to them that this is like a place to train them. And basically, they think they're going to end up in the X-Men here at this place. That they just need to get better. And so she explains to them what New Mutants are. She says that a lot of mutants, when they first discover their powers, because mutants often don't. Their powers aren't realized. They don't manifest until puberty, which is kind of a what happens in, you know, like that's what happens to Rogue, and it happens in the X-Men lore. And so a lot of times the first time their powers manifest is they end up hurting people. And so they can be extremely volatile when they're new mutants. And so this is a place where new mutants can kind of be in a safe place to save themselves and others to hone in their skills.
Yeah.
And to where then they could maybe become part of the X-Men is kind of the implication in this. But lo and behold, you know, kind of a broad stroke overview of this movie, turns out that's not what this place is. It's actually, it's a, some other company called Essex that is controlling, that is in charge of this place, and they don't really
explain
like why they're doing it, but they do at one point say they're not training us to be X-Men, they're training us to be monsters
or just
or weapons
like trained
or something.
Killers or something like that.
Yeah,
so
but it's really, it's not, it's, sure, that's something that's happening in the background, and that's something that certainly doesn't make sense at all about this movie.
Yeah,
but it's really about the characters here in this.
Gosh.
It's basically,
again, it's like a normal horror film where it's like everybody's going on a field trip, everything's great, and then
all of a sudden it isn't. Well,
and you, because you had characters being revealed during that, you know, attic break,
and
stupid times that they were together.
They have like
sit
around, you know, like
the TV.
Alcoholics Anonymous sort of circle conversation, like go around and say, it's a great place for exposition where it's like, I don't want to talk about how my father tried to kill my mother when I was a kid and I witnessed it from the closet and, you know, like that, all that kind of stuff. They have several little like gimmicks, vehicles for exposition. Like they have that part where they're like, this is the only place we could go where there aren't cameras watching us, and it's like this attic, and they're like, there's a bunch of stuff in here from back before this was place for mutants, and there just happens to be a working polygraph test that they know how to use.
Yeah.
And they just for fun hook each other up to the polygraph test
and
play truth or dare. Well, truth probably primarily, because dare, she says something like, you can't choose dare.
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
no, but they did
say that. Let's kind of explain who our characters are.
Yeah, so we got...
This is basically Breakfast Club.
Yeah, you got all these different people.
We got the jock. But they all have powers, but that's not important right now. We've got the jock, the lesbian, the blonde, and who's the other guy? The hick.
The hick.
And the blonde is Russian for no reason.
Yes, for...
Or some sort of Eastern European.
Eastern European.
And the lesbian is Irish or Scottish or something. Her accent.
She's different Irish because it's more Catholic background.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she could be Scottish, but I thought she was more Irish.
I mean, she had an accent, but it would shift. Like, when she first talked, I was like, where is this accent from?
Yeah.
And then I think she said something about being from Scotland, or she said something where it kind of implied that, and I was like, oh, okay. Or Ireland, one of the two. It's all the same to me.
Oh, interesting. There is coal mines in Kentucky.
Yeah, okay.
But it just, I don't know. It just felt, I don't know. I feel like there's more coal mines in Virginia, but again, I lived in Virginia, so we talked about it more.
Yeah.
So.
And so all of.
Interesting.
All of them have their own, like, stories as to why they, like, these backstories about how they use their powers and everything went wrong. Did we ever find out? Oh, yeah. I was going to say the jock guy. Like, did we ever find out? Because for no reason at all, they're all like, we don't know what his powers are.
He's never going to reveal it.
And then he reveals it eventually that he's like the Human Torch. But like the first girl that he ever was going to get with, he set on fire on accident because he got
emotional or
too horny.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So then
so he set her on fire and she died.
That's so sad.
But I bet you're wondering. Okay, so lesbians.
We've been so scatterbrained. But there's five. Wait, there's.
There's four and then Rogue. Five, not yes. Rogue. Yeah, because the Doctor is a mutant as well, who's the only one. This petite woman is in charge of these dangerous, apparently, mutants. But her ability is that she can make force fields that are apparently just completely impenetrable.
And she doesn't have to hold her arms up to keep it going.
Even though she does.
It just goes
right,
the
like
whole
she's
time.
Got a bubble over the entire facility even
yeah.
when she was asleep.
Yeah. Or when she was drugged, it was still there, apparently.
But even though at the end, when she's put the force field around everyone, she's like holding her hand up.
Yeah, and she's struggling to. So it's just weird that she could, I don't know, say, okay, I'm going to do this force field at
maybe
all
maybe she could
24/7.
Set it and forget it.
Like a reminder.
Yeah. Like, oh, don't remember to. you've got a force field on.
And she had cameras everywhere so she could see everything that was going
on
in the place.
Yeah, it kept on cutting to footage of... So that's the... And by the end, I'll finish up like the synopsis.
Okay.
By the end, everybody is fine.
So fine.
The ultimate thing was that that not Rogue's power is that she can... She makes everybody realize their deepest fears, and then those deepest fears come true. So through that vehicle, we learn everybody's backstory because people are suddenly, like these four people are suddenly experiencing their biggest fears. Now, here's a question.
I mean, do you want to just reference her? Is Danielle, right?
Danielle was her name? Carmen?
Was it Danielle?
You there? Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Maybe. Wow. If her name's Danielle, then that's...
I mean, like...
That's just amazing that I have no recollection of her name. Because if you had me guess five times what her name was, I don't think I would have said that.
Oh, well, here they're not all listed correctly. Because Majik was the blonde-headed one, which
the Russian?
Yeah, which she's.
Oh yeah, she has a puppet.
She's actually American-born Argentine-British actress.
Oh, is she really?
Not Eastern European.
I said on my drive home, I was like, I bet you $100 she's not Russian. It was so obvious. Oh man.
Well, okay,
that was
Ilyana
so
Rasputin, and then Sam Guthrie. Dr. Reyes, which is funny because she's Brazilian, not Spanish, the doctor. Okay, Danielle Moonstar. Remember, we made fun of the last
name.
Oh,
yeah.
And then, but the guy did.
Yeah, so
the torch
okay.
guy did make fun of her last name. So there was some self-aware, but I mean.
That doesn't make things good. Just because you're aware that something's bad doesn't make it good. And maybe that's a famous comic book character. We don't know.
We don't know.
We're not that deep into it, but I'm going to give you Why don't we give five things that we liked and five things that one thing that we liked and five things that
we hated.
Give your one thing that you liked.
I don't know.
I could probably think of five.
Things that you liked?
Yeah. I thought that there was... I thought that they did fairly well. I don't know what the budget was, but I assume it was pretty low. Because they only had five people, six people at most in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought that the special effects were decent.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and I really liked the... whatever her name was, the Magique girl, the Eastern European girl. I mean, she had a pretty cool power.
Yes, and when you actually got to see it, it was pretty cool.
It was very developed.
They knew that it was cool.
She had a pretty cool power. And then, of course, the wolf girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was decent.
The lesbian's power is that she can turn into a wolf. She's a shapeshifter, I guess.
And then...
he's like a werewolf.
The torch. And then the fireball guy.
Yeah, we've got like a human torch and a fireball guy. Hey, what else we got?
Well, what's funny too, we saw this at the end. I was like, so the human torch consumes his clothes and then the fireball doesn't.
Yeah. Like, I mean, these aren't their names. We're just saying human torch because it's like
the human torch.
But
I think a sunburst. Yeah.
So then,
something.
Like when he flames on
sunspot.
Oh, that's his name.
Nickname.
Okay. When he flames on and then comes back to human form, he doesn't have clothes on. He's naked. But the other guy he can flame on and move really fast,
yeah,
like the Human Torch, and he apparently keeps his clothes on.
Yeah. It, you know, nothing.
You know where
happened.
I realized he's from? He's on the Ozarks.
Oh,
that
really?
Actor. Yeah.
He's British.
Is he?
Yeah.
Man, that's weird because on
this
Ozarks,
guy?
Yeah, isn't he? Check to make sure he's who I'm thinking of.
You know, this came in handy even though you told me.
Well, I just want you to engage in the conversation.
I am engaging. No, he's not been in any other stuff. He's been in Stranger Things.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Marrowbone, and the Schoolboy, like weird.
Okay,
indie
Stranger
films.
Things is what I'm thinking of because he's the he's on Stranger Things.
He's a British actor.
From somewhere, but man, his accent was horrible.
It was so country, and it wasn't.
But not. It
perfect.
Was like it was fake like, country. Like, hey,
Kentucky,
how's it going?
Well, the thing is,
I'm from Kentucky. Kentucky.
See, Kentucky is a very special state. They have an accent of their own, and it's a different southern accent.
Yeah.
You got it's
I think each state has their own special type of accent.
But they have a very, very unique type of accent, which I don't think anybody can master unless you live in cornfields. Like, because if you go to Lexington or you go to those big cities, they're going to be completely different than when you're going by. Mm-hmm. So they're very unique, and I wish people would study them more, kind of like the David Copperfield movie that we're about to talk about later, where you actually studied how they talked. I liked the special effects of the magic one. It's just sad that hers was like obviously super developed and cool, even though she had the scariest terror.
Yeah.
And then everyone else was just like, I don't know what I am. I can't develop myself. I can't.
Yeah.
It was weird. But she also had.
Well, she also was weird because she was like a ruthless, heartless person. She was
and
like,
then she saves the day at end. So you're like, what?
Right in the middle for no reason at all. I think this is the thing that I hate the most. There's lots of things that I hate about this movie. There's lots of stupid stuff. about just like confusing, you know, obvious things that like they should have done differently. But the thing that I hate the most is that there is this Russian girl, and all of them, they all decide to defend not Rogue, Danielle, for no reason at all. Other than the lesbian girl, because they have a relationship. So I guess I could see where she would irrationally...
Which, that bothered me too, because they've only...
bothered you.
They've only known each other for about a day.
Oh, yeah. That was so dumb. Like, their relationship was so forced. Like, it... This isn't about who they are. Like, that they're... But it's just like there was no... It felt like she'd only been there for a day, and then she's like... Looking at her, they're laying out underneath the stars, and she's like, sometimes I just wonder if you're even real, or if I made you up in my mind, because you're just so perfect. For one, she's not. She has a lot of problems.
Well, and you saw the relationship between the guy Torch and the magic
and the Russian girl. Yeah.
And I don't know. They had been with each other and they had their differences, but they didn't go out and just start making out.
Right.
So are they trying to say that, I don't know, boy and girl
they actually
relationships
like,
are more complicated than same
complex.
Sex? Or I don't know.
I think there's just a lot of stuff in here that wasn't fleshed out anyway. So like this girl, this Russian girl, whatever her name is, Magik.
Yeah, it's magic, but then she actually has a name, but not all the cast stuff pops up right away.
She is, you know, ruthless, and then suddenly she's like, I'm going to save the day, and
Ileana.
She's going to help everybody out, and it's just such a weird character turn for no reason other than, hey, this is the part where it doesn't feel like redemption. Like, oh, she's been, I mean, she has even more reason to dislike Danielle by the end, because Danielle's the one who's causing all of these things to happen.
Yeah, causing all the, can I say the whole?
Yeah, we're spoiling it all.
Causing the horror, because then... Like we said with Rogue and Danielle, her power is pointless unless you're trying to become a killer, which maybe that's why they picked her up, because she can bring people's horrors to life and then actually kills you.
Yeah, like they literally physically manifest themselves. Yeah, so like what use is that? You know, just like with Rogue in the X-Men movies, it's like, why are you here? Your mutation is different than what, like, somebody who can throw fire at somebody can do. Yours is just a disability.
Well, it's not a disability to herself. It's a preservation to herself.
Yeah.
That she will outlive, but she can't help anybody. She she hinders everything, both of these characters.
But the cool thing about that in X-Men is they actually explore that. Like, she actually struggles with the fact that everybody else can go out and help, and she's like, yeah, but mine, you know, that it's just part of the story, where this, it's not even part of the story. It's
what it climax up to her fear.
Well, yes,
killing everything.
So like her fear is bears, I guess. And then so it manifests itself in this.
Well, they
giant
have this whole
bear.
Simile going through the whole movie,
right?
About the baby bear being small, and then
or
it gets
everybody has two
she...
bears inside of them.
Was there two?
No, her dad. It begins with voiceover. My dad always told me this story that everyone has two bears inside of them.
Oh, I just heard about the first one.
there weren't two bears.
Terror.
Yeah, so it's this giant bear that looks like Yogi Bear, or it looks...
Has a huge, cute nose at the end.
Yeah, I know.
It's like what?
It bites into this church that they're in. it looks like Smokey Bear. I wanted to go, only you could prevent forest fires in the...
And then his eyes light up in red.
Yeah. Man, it's crazy that the special effects were good if they had a really low budget, but just thinking about those eyes when I saw those, the commercial for Regal Unlimited has like this Captain America type character.
Yeah.
Those effects look better than this movie.
Mm.
Like, so it must just, it's not that impressive.
Well, I was kind of disappointed because at first I thought, okay, this is going to be like an indie, kind of like the Wolverine, his last movie.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Logan.
It had that feel where, I don't know if they shot it on film, but it just had that film look quality mm-hmm. where it wasn't super flashy. It just looked like a regular film. And then whenever they had these effects, it looked low budget, like a TV show. But I was willing to go along with it. But as the script developed, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening? Like, okay, we knew that the doctor was being nice. And then I was hoping that we would see bad things about her, but it mm-hmm. never really happened.
Other than she's keeping them there. And then she gets the order from somebody. Like, they have these really
very
weird,
vague,
like, to kill the girl because she's too dangerous. Like, it's so generic where it's like, oh, the guy from up top is telling me that I need to kill you now.
So a huge comparison about that, of like having danger or whatever, like you have a power that's so dangerous that you could hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
We've just been watching The Umbrella Academy.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not done with the season 2, but for the first season, you have Vanya, who has this very powerful power,
mm-hmm.
and the doctor,
a very dangerous power.
Yes. And, or she could be very helpful. You know, it's either,
yeah,
you know, but at least the professor, whatever, her father was like, okay, we're not going to kill her.
Yeah.
We're going to diminish her powers by giving her this medication.
Yeah.
And so.
But because he tried to train her, but was
forcefully.
Very forceful. Like, but they spend an entire season. And if you haven't, we don't want to spoil too much of Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, because it's
that
so
is
good.
A bit of a
you should
spoiler.
Watch it.
But they do spend an entire season developing this character to where when she is, you know, that way, when you learn, you get it. Like, you feel for her even if she's not doing the right thing, or even if, you know.
Yeah.
And this, it's, I still am like, why not? Like, I don't think they should kill the girl, but why are these people defending her? Like, it doesn't make any sense, because everything that went wrong in the movie outside of what the doctor was doing, which she wasn't doing to begin with, I mean, which she wasn't hurting anybody. Like, they were all fine with it until Not Rogue came along, until Danielle came along.
Yeah.
And then Danielle not only disrupted the kind of everyday life of these characters, but also ruined their lives and almost killed all of them.
And they were totally cool with, like, no, we need to save you. And by the end, we're just like,
why?
We don't like her anymore.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing about her character that's likable.
No.
She's just so generic and vague. But then they aren't friends with her. None of them are, except for the wolf girl, because they made out. But even that, there's not a relationship that's developed. One of my favorite terrible parts of this movie was, there's this one part, halfway through, about where, for no reason, you don't even know how it happens, and I don't know why they don't do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They drugged the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's just sleeping in her office. And so, like, yeah, the Russian girl is like, I spiked her tea. So she's out. And apparently they're comfortable enough, strong enough drug, that they know that she's out for quite a long time. And they go crazy. They start playing with tambourines.
I know.
And dancing.
Crazy things.
And they eat Lucky Charms.
Was it Lucky Charms?
Yeah, because they were like throwing it. The one girl was throwing it. They literally do nothing with that opportunity.
They could have left the premises.
The two guys roll down the hallway with a chair. a wheelchair. Like, not like it was so stupid, but it was very, this is why I say, that's part of why I say it's like Breakfast Club, because they do that stupid dance in the middle of Breakfast Club, and it's like, we all get along now. And they almost say the line that, hey, in order to win, we need to work together.
Yeah, well, and the director and writer, he also directed The Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, that's not a bad movie.
So it's just weird that he went from a very indie film, which this one has a very indie film feel at the beginning, to then, I don't know.
I'm guessing it's studio involvement.
Going too crazy and dumbing it down. I mean, he did he didn't completely write the New Mutants. He wrote it with Nate Lee, too, which doesn't seem like he's done a lot.
That must be the studio guy, the suit.
He's done Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
Oh.
I mean, he was a producer.
I saw that movie.
And then
I don't necessarily recommend it.
Ink It, Kidnap. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like they've done really high or well-crafted things.
Well, fortunately, we didn't just watch that movie.
Yeah, we walked out super disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, when a movie's that bad, I'm not that disappointed, because I at least am like, well, that's maybe I'll review it, you know, and this will be funny to review. However, we went and we saw a great movie.
Yeah, The Personal Life of David Copperfield.
Based off of the Charles Dickens novel, David Copperfield.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic.
Well, we love the director.
We love the director because he did Death of Stalin, which is one of my favorite movies.
And Veep.
And he created Veep, which is a great show. A funny show. Not necessarily
recommended.
They do say the F word quite a bit.
But
it is very funny.
What I really like about the director, which I want to get it correct, but it's
Armando
Iannucci. He's a writer and a director, which you can see
like the
in his
New
production.
Mutants director.
Well, no, this guy actually knows how to do things from A to Z. It seems like this guy reads a lot. I mean, we saw a little interview, and he basically said, I read David Copperfield, and I was like, okay, this is my next movie. And so he is continuously getting better at his craft, which is really cool, rather than other directors, maybe, possibly. I don't know. But very, very well done. I mean, it has its quirks.
Yeah.
It's quirky.
It's quirky. It's
well done.
Yeah, I like it. I think the one thing that we both noticed is, and this is, we have to choose our words very carefully when discussing this aspect of it. The actors are all like different races, and it doesn't make sense in terms of like lineage, because you have like, I think the one that stands out is you have an Asian father and an African English daughter.
Yes.
A black daughter. They don't show the mother, but like that's clearly not like, because you also have the white son with the black mother. I compare it to like, once you realize, oh, okay, we're in like, I compare it to, you and I like to go, there's a place that
in Stanton, Virginia.
In Stanton,
we just talked
Virginia,
about it.
Yes. In the same
Blackfriars Inn, but this is a playhouse.
There's a playhouse, and they do original Shakespeare plays like in the style of how people would have enjoyed it in the day,
like a Blackfriar, and so it's exactly a replica of that playhouse.
So the type of playhouse Shakespeare plays would have been performed in, the stage is, it's very up close and personal. Some people are sitting like on the stage,
Yeah, because you got the groundlings and you got the eaves and all that. But they call it, we do it with the lights on. So it's the Shakespeare Center there in Stanton. And they do have a rotating traveling crew. But
so the reason we bring that up is because
they have a cast.
Yeah, they have a cast that's very diverse and
fantastic.
It seems that they get the people who are best for the roles. And they don't. You may have that, like, and you're drawn so much into the play that it's not like, hey, wait a minute, that guy can't be his brother because they're two different races. Like, it's just kind of, you understand when you're watching it that that's the way it works, and so that's the way this is played off. And so it's because the main character's Indian, but his mother is very white, very pale.
Dev Patel.
Yes, he's the Slumdog Millionaire. And
really great actor.
Yeah, fantastic. Like, and then the little boy who plays him.
Oh, he's so fresh.
I don't know if he's been on other stuff, but he's got a future. He was so funny. It's got an all-star cast. We've got Tilda Swinton, Hugh Laurie, Pete. Doctor Who, the 12th Doctor.
Peter Capaldi. Ben Whishaw. And I'm good with faces because I told Kevin, I was like, the mom is the girl that he wanted to marry, which is Morfydd Clark. And I was correct.
Yes, I was like...
no way. And I was like, no, it's like
it's
a play.
Not,
like,
he
if
doesn't
you already
want to
thought
marry
it,
the mom. The same actress plays the mother and the woman who he marries.
Yeah, but it's like, I think it's a great representation because you do that with plays where you have like, they have a different demeanor and everything and different wigs and stuff, but you want to marry your mom or you want to marry your father.
Oedipus complex.
So, but he ends up obviously marrying someone that's very much more suitable for him. David Copperfield, that is. But
not the magician.
Yeah, not the magician. But I once you realize, okay, because he starts out like a play and he ends it. Once you understand that, I mean, the acting, I think for everything was chosen very nicely. The plots, I loved how they sometimes would just look at the wall and a projector would show up.
Yeah,
so
it
had a very
artfully done.
Very. I mean, because you do that sometimes in theater, and the actors just go with it, like, here's the fourth wall, and you're like, oh, cool, and then they walk through it, or the curtains lift up, and you're in the field or something.
So much of it feels like a stage play.
Very creative.
But it's not. But just even with the way that they would, the type of humor that's in it, it's never... It doesn't take you out of the movie. It's always very character-driven humor. You know, like the director said, when he read that in the book, there is a part where, like, the woman is chasing donkeys out of her garden constantly. Like, and they have that in the movie, and it's very funny. Tilda Swinton going out there with a frying pan is like, there's donkeys! The donkeys are back! Hugh Laurie plays a very absent-minded character, and it's very funny. I mean, he's lost his mind, but you know, and they don't kind of realize that back then.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's a very funny movie. It's a heartfelt movie, and you're really rooting for it. It's I don't want to give too much of it away because it's an experience.
I definitely
the fact that this is like the worst movie and one of the best movies I've seen this year, both back to back.
Well, and it's interesting because this movie actually was released last year.
Yeah, I did see it's 2019.
So it's a 2019. So I don't know what they're going to do about the Oscars this year, but I wish this would be... It has a quality to it. Armando does a really great job. If you haven't seen The Death of Stalin...
Yeah, it's great.
Or... Well, we already mentioned Veep too, but he's just a really great writer. There's other ones that we haven't seen. In the Loop is one of them. And then there's also some TV series that we really want to check out.
Yeah.
Because there is, I mean, obviously, Charles Dickens did a fabulous job with his all
you
his
know,
stories.
I think that guy's going places.
But there's unique, memorable items in this film, but it's because that's the story was written that mm-hmm. way. Like the donkeys, like you would never, I don't know.
It does it's, remind it's me of cute. The most recent then, adaptation of The Importance of Being Earnest.
Mm.
Just because there's so much humor that's found in that. Or again, like the Shakespeare plays where it's like, this is funny. I didn't know people were funny back then, but you know, like a
good
lot
job.
Of these, since they're so character driven, and I'm a huge fan of quality, memorable characters. And that's a huge part of this movie because he talks about how, because he's a writer, David Copperfield, in the story, and he talks about how he likes to write down memorable personalities and memorable characters, and I think that that's so, it plays to what I like a lot about storytelling. I enjoy,
yeah.
you know, I enjoy memorable characters and then them put in unique situations and seeing how they respond to those situations. I enjoy writing that type of thing. I don't write a lot, but
what?
I don't, not a lot of the things that I've written do would I consider like on par with any sort of movies that I enjoy, but like I enjoy developing characters and then placing those characters in fun, unique situations. And this movie definitely does that. It's more from the perspective of the David character and all of these different characters that he meets along the way, more than it is like him having a big personality. Though what's funny is he had a much more like funny and addictive personality as a kid in this movie. Like his
yeah.
He was much funnier as a kid than as an adult, and that's just the actor.
The cute kid, he's Jairaj Versani is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And his debut, it looks like it was the personal life of David Copperfield.
That makes sense.
But he's going to be in Avenue 5th, which is with Hugh Laurie.
Okay.
And
it's
and
funny because they didn't have any
Josh Gad. That's why I was saying. That's why I was looking for
looking
Josh Gad because I was looking
like,
at the wrong
Josh
cast.
Josh Gad's supposed to be in this. I'm like, really?
David Copperfield one, and I was like, where is he?
It.
Yeah. No, he. But so, anyways, we'll have to watch Avenue 5th or 5 because that came out this year, and then the second season's coming out next year.
Okay.
So it's on HBO. Dang it. We got to get back into HBO.
Well, once DC Universe cancels itself, then we'll switch it over.
Okay.
That'll be our big plan. And then we'll come and do another podcast.
But this kid is...
He's cute as can be.
He has such really great expressions. There's been another child actor recently that we saw. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah, this kid was...
Good.
Really funny.
Starfire, Star Girl, Starflight. Mm-hmm. Star Girl, the boy.
Okay, yeah. That's right.
Her brother or stepbrother, or whatever. He has like these expressions that are just really good. And then also we have to give credit to Five on the Umbrella Academy.
Oh yeah, that
he
kid.
Does fantastic.
Yeah, you forget that he's a kid. You know,
I want coffee, please. 5 cups.
I think that it was on the Weekly Planet where somebody, he pointed out that like all the actors are the same age, like are around
5.
The same age. And then he's like, well, I mean, obviously, except for 5 because he's a kid. But
I mean, he's growing
he's
up. So, I mean, like they got to keep shooting him until he like gets too tall.
Yep.
Because he's going to shoot. He's definitely going to shoot up.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yep. Well, anything about any of these two movies you wanted to mention?
I just want to say go see the Copperfield one. It's a really pretty film. I don't know mm-hmm. if... I mean, you could definitely watch it. We watched The Death of Stalin in our home.
I think it's on Netflix now.
But if you have Unlimited, Regal Unlimited, we recommend just going to go see it in theaters.
Death of Stalin?
And The Death of Stalin, I think it's on the $5 bin.
Oh, really?
That's being on there, too.
That's cool.
Well, not $5 bill, but $5 theatrical.
Yeah, they're doing that around here. I'm sure they're doing that at a bunch of Regals, but it's the Copperfield one. It, you know, you'll feel cultured.
Yeah, I feel like I could talk about it now because Charles Dickens. It's always so thick, the stuff that he puts together. Said that the last last production that they've done of that or retelling was in the 60s and 70s. Adaptation was 60s and 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what the director was saying, that it hasn't been adapted very often and it's never been adapted.
It's very dense.
In a way that kind of really portrayed what he felt was the humor in the book, which I really like about him because, like, Death of Stalin has so much comedy in it, but it's a dark movie. Like,
yes.
I mean, it's about the death of Stalin. And
it's based on a play at first.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that this director, at least the two movies that we've seen him do, does theatrical type stuff, like, you know, theater type stuff very well and adapts it to film. Yeah. Go see it.
And the other... Yeah, and I think you definitely needed somebody that grew up with British humor to do it. To get it properly and everything.
Well, I appreciate that because I often will read things and find so much humor in it that I feel doesn't, you know, I mean, I always felt that way about the Bible. Like, I think that Jesus could be very sarcastic and, you know, especially to the Pharisees and stuff, or just kind of the questions that he asks, like, you know, asking... He's just very funny. I think that there's a lot of humor in Jesus's responses, just given the fact that he already knows like all these questions. So why is he asking these questions? He's getting people to think. And I think that there's but maybe that's me just projecting.
Great, Kevin projects.
Yep. All right. Well, Carmen.
It's time.
This was a great podcast that we did late at night.
I know. Hopefully we all made sense. We'll probably listen to it tomorrow and be like, what just happened?
I don't listen to these. I just put them out. I hope other people listen to them, though. If you want to get in touch with us, you know where to find us. I'm on Twitter at Goodnight Kev. Say goodnight, Kev. I don't know. Find me on Twitter, Kevin McCreary. And what? What else? Anything else?
No. Mine's Carmen_Rocks.
Nice.
I know.
Carmen_Rocks.
Finally made it.
Rocket that underscore. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.